great privilege and honor to share with you this morning. And as Wendell and I started going through the calendar and just looking at some things, he asked me if I would preach this morning. And so this morning we're going to start off with a passage that many of you know well, and it's found over in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 11. In some of your Bibles, it's going to say the prodigal son. But I hope as you listen and hear this, you're going to find the example of a dad who loved his son and sons more than anything else. And that's what we want to spend some time this morning just talking about. So again, if you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn over to Luke 15, and we'll start reading our scripture there. Luke 15:11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me a portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son had gathered all these things together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into a field to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said unto his servant, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came the father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy command. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.' Let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning just thanking you that we can look at your word this morning. And Father, I pray that you would use these words to speak to our hearts. Father, that they would change our lives. And Father, that we would live a life that would be pleasing unto you. Now lead us, pour your Holy Spirit upon each one, we pray now. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we see is the father's love. Verse 11 talks to us and tells us that this man had two sons. Doesn't say anything about who they are, but let's just imagine, let's just go on a journey. Here this father has two sons, one who's the older, and this young man works hard, does everything his father asks him to do. What some people would say, this faithful, dedicated son. Then we have this younger son who probably, again, just give me a little liberty here. Probably one of these sons who every time dad turns around is having to say, stop that. Don't do this. You're not listening to me. Get in line. Do this. So this son comes to him in verse 12 and he says, Daddy, give me my part of the inheritance. Give me what's due me. Give me what I will receive one day. Well, you see, number one, I think it's a little bit bold of this younger son to even come to his father and just think, you know what? This is mine and it's coming to me, so give it to me today. He couldn't even wait for his father to pass away. He wanted it now. Wanted everything that would be due him. We see this younger son wanted his third. In Deuteronomy 21:17, we read in his word where it says, but he shall acknowledge the son of his hated for the firstborn, because he was firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength, the right of his firstborn. You see, what Jewish law was that the firstborn son got two-thirds of the estate. So this son was due his one-third when something happened to the father. You see, the younger son was just interested in what he was going to get out of this relationship. How often sometimes does it happen that way in our lives that we have family members or friends or whoever that's just looking to get what they can get out of a relationship? It's all about them. They're willing to do whatever as long as they know they're going to get something in return. But if they're going to have to work or have to do something difficult, then most of the time you find out where they stand. Verse 13 says that the younger son then gathered up everything that he owned, packed his bags, and left for a journey. You see, now that he's gotten everything that was due him, he decided that those rules that his dad had for him at home were just too much to deal with. How many of us sometimes in our lifetime have looked and thought that the grass was greener on the other side? We've heard that saying for years. Things look so much better over here. Most of the time when we get over there, we realize that, they weren't quite what we thought they were over there. But still, we have this desire to want to go over to see better things. We don't like it when mom and dad tells us that we have these rules that we have to follow, we have to live by. And so many kids today leave their home at the first opportunity that they have to go out to strike it on their own. We see the interesting piece, I think, here from the father's standpoint and from his standpoint is it doesn't say anywhere that he tried to stop his son. You see, there comes a point in our life where we have to realize that we can't control those who live under our authority. They have to step out. They have to make their own decisions, whether they're good or whether they're bad, but they have to do it. But the loving, gracious Father right here was willing to let his son step out to make his own decisions, to live his own life. You see, this is actually the picture of how our Heavenly Father is with you and I here today. God doesn't rule over us with an iron fist and put us in a mold and say, you're going to do this and you're going to do this. What he does is he gives us the freedom to live our lives. Now, with that freedom, every single one of us mess up somewhere along the way. Every single one of us trip and fall somewhere along the way. But I'm thankful that God gives us that freedom and that ability to make our own decisions and to go the way we see best. But we're going to talk about that. That's not the end of that loving Father. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. So verse 14 and 15 says that he went and spent everything that he had. He wasted it all. Threw his money away. How many of us know people that can't manage a dime? They get a dime in their hand and it's gone. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about anything else. It's all about today. That's what this young man did. He went. We don't know what kind of lifestyle he lived, but we do know that the scripture says he spent everything. Verse 15 said that finally, one day, he realized that he was going to starve to death, and he found a job. Well, you see, this job was feeding pigs, and in Jewish life, this was absolutely the worst thing in the world. According to Jewish customs, pigs were unclean animals. Leviticus 11, 4, and then 7 and 8 tells us that nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or them that divide the hoofs, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud and divideth not the hoofs. He is unclean unto you. Verse 7. And the swine, though he divide the hoofs and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, and he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean. You see, this young man who grew up as a Jew knew that what he was doing was wrong. You know, all of us have been taught right and wrong as we grew up. Most of us, I'm so thankful, have had parents who loved us and cared for us, who set an example for us. So he goes out and he is there feeding these pigs because he can't do anything else. They're not hiring anywhere else except for here. But the beauty about this whole process is when he goes there, verse 17 says, but he came to his senses, or he came to himself. And he thought, how foolish is this? Here I've lost everything. Here I am down on my luck. Here I have nothing. And all of a sudden he comes and he realizes, man, did I ever mess up? I made the biggest mistake of my life. How foolish it is for me to sit here and starve when actually my father's slaves back at his house have more than I have. My daddy provides for them. He gives them something to eat. And he realizes that he needs to admit to his father that he's a sinner. So he realizes that he's a sinner. He realizes that he's done wrong. He could just stay there and wallow in his own self-pity and say, "Whoa, I'm wrong." But what did he do? It says that he immediately got up and went home in verse 18. You see, God has this mechanism put in every single human being that is around, a desire to come home. God doesn't keep us from coming home. He gives us the freedom to go out and do, but he has a desire in each one of us to come home. Now, some people obey it and listen to it. Other people just choose to stay and wallow and stay in their sin. Verse 19 says, Isaiah 26:9 says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, my spirit within me will I seek thee early." You see, God has given our soul the desire to seek thee and to seek after God in all that we do. Verse 19 says that he realizes his need for confession. He says, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son." We too need to realize that we are not worthy. There's not one person in here today that is worthy to stand before the Father. And we are not worthy and cannot be worthy to stand before the Father on our own. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are worthy to come before the Father. You see, we all have to come to a realization of our need for the Father. So the young man goes, heads back home. Verse 20 says, "The father was looking and longing to see him." I can imagine that every day that this father is looking down the road, he's up to where he can see a long way off. And he's looking, he's searching. Something deep inside of him is just hoping that he's going to be able to see that sun coming in the horizon. So every day he goes out and he looks and he looks. Well, on this particular day, as he goes out and he's looking, lo and behold, what does he see? He sees out there in this shadow. That shadow gets just a little bit closer, and he realizes by the way he's moving that that's his young son. And it says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion on him." This father had every right to be angry, to be upset, to be hurt. But what did it say? It said he felt compassion. And that compassion led him to run, not walk, but to run to greet his son and fall on his shoulders and hug him and tell him just how much that he loved him. You see, in Jewish life, most elder men would wait to be greeted by the son. But this father's love went beyond anything that we can imagine. And he ran to him and he hugged him. The son, after they had their warm embrace and after He just got to spend some time in his daddy's arms. And verse 21 said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, for I'm not worthy. You see, he realized his sin and he realized his unworthiness. In Luke chapter 18, verse 13, we read, and the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift his eyes so much as to even lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful on me, a sinner. You see, each of us today have to come to God humbly, with a repentant heart, asking that God would forgive us for the things that we've done in our life that have been against God. You see, this young man realized what his need was, and he was willing to go and do whatever it took to make things right. But I'm so thankful that the father said, he didn't even let him finish. The servant was going to say to him, you know what, I just want to be a hired hand. I just want to be a slave. I just want to be, he didn't even let him finish. After he said, I have sinned. Then the father said to him, quickly go and bring me the very best robe. Put the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Well, you see, I've read through and gone through and didn't really think a whole lot about this sandal piece before. But the significance of the sandal piece in this scripture is meaning the fact that a child always, or family, always had shoes on their feet. It was the slaves who went barefooted. Matter of fact, that tradition, and according to some commentaries that I read and went through, even said that that was even the case even in America with our slaves. Most of the slaves didn't have shoes for their feet, but the master and his children did. You see, that is significant because the father not only gave him the best robe, gave him the best ring, but he gave him a pair of shoes because he was elevating him, lifting him up to be back a part of the family, not a slave. You see, when we come to the father, he lifts us up. We're not down here. He lifts us up, makes us whole. Verse 23 says, he killed the fatted calf. And 24, the father proclaims that the son has come to life. You see, the father brought him right back in to the fold like nothing had ever happened. We're told of a story of Abraham Lincoln was asked one time what he was going to do when the rebellious Southerners came back into the Union. And Abraham Lincoln's words were these, I will treat them as if they had never been away. You see, that's what the Father does to us today. He treats us as if we'd never been away. We'd been in his presence the whole time. You see, this morning you may be here and you may not have that relationship with the Lord. But you know what? No matter what you do, no matter how you've lived, God still wants to forgive you. He wants to bring you back into the fold. He wants you to be his child. Well, the end of our story goes on. Verse 28 says, the older son becomes angry. He felt he deserved it all. He didn't want his brother to be forgiven. I got to thinking about this verse this week. I was reading, and I thought, are there people in my life who I haven't been willing to give a second chance? Have I been so righteous that I've stood looking afar and saying, I don't believe this person has changed? You know, there are some people that'll never ever change. But I'm here thankful today to say it's not my place to even judge and to think that, because it's between them and their Father. You see, this Father was willing to go above and beyond. The Son just felt like it was owed him, and he wasn't about to do it. Matter of fact, when he talked about his brother, he said, your brother, to his father. Didn't say my brother or your son. He didn't say my brother. You see, sometimes we get so self-righteous that we have to be woken up to realize that if the Father can forgive me, he can forgive you. This morning, on this Father's Day, as we talk about this love that this Father gave, and I don't know what your situation was with your father. I had a father that I loved. Great example. But there was also some times in my life where I didn't like him very much at all. Times that I didn't feel like he really cared that much for me. But what I realized later was just how much he did love me and cared for me. So I don't know what your family situation is. Maybe you've been in a situation to where you didn't feel like your father cared for you. I know one father that does. And I know one father that will forgive, and one father that can make all things right. And this morning, that's what we're here to celebrate. You may be here and you may say, maybe I haven't been the father that I need to be. I think every one of us as dads have had moments to where we have thought, I wish I'd done this differently. But at the same time, we will let him be our example. We can be the father that he wants us to be. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for this day. And God, I pray, as we go to this invitation time, God, if there's decisions that need to be made, Father, maybe we just need to come and lay a burden down here at the altar. Maybe we just need to come and a conversation with you this morning. Father, maybe we need to find you as our true Lord and Savior. Father, maybe we need to join this church. Father, maybe we just need to go this afternoon, if our fathers are still with us, and just have a conversation with them to let them know how much we love and appreciate them. Father, I pray during this invitation time that you will speak to hearts and that we will be obedient to listen to your commands. All these things we ask in Jesus' name.